be in sync. The Senate Majority Leader, for example, seems to be on board, but the House Speaker has placed a higher priority on welfare and entitlement reforms. Linda Kenyon at the White House.
Pro racer Scott Tucker has been sentenced to over 16 years in prison after his conviction for running a payday loan business that federal prosecutors say cheated millions out of financially struggling Americans. News and analysis at townhall.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Well, hello once again. Welcome to 2018 Boomer Tech Radio, our first episode of this year. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with Goodies Gadgets Gizmos for the last 8 years, going into our ninth year here on Boomer Tech Radio. And that's really hard to believe.
Pretty amazing, huh?
The iPhone, when we started this, it was like the iPhone 2 or something. Oh, was it? Yeah, because the iPhone just celebrated its 10th anniversary. So, the phone that changed everything.
Is that why the new model is the iPhone 10?
Well, yeah, the 10th iteration. And 10th
iteration,
year.
10th year, yeah. Coincidental. That means they've had one a year.
Or the 9th iteration, yeah.
Well, they skipped 9, right?
Yeah.
They don't have an iPhone 9.
There's no iPhone 9, no. Anyway, we're going to talk about CES, which is last year at this time we were down there. Sitting in a little broadcast booth in the middle of a building that as many people as live in our hometown attend CES every year. So just take the entire population and move it.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just insane. There's no way you could see all of it. Even if you come in as media, and you get extra days if you're in with media.
Yeah, you got to focus.
And
have good shoes.
There's, well, got to be in physical shape, that's for sure. But the physical part, while it's brutal, it's the closeness and the emotional wearing on you because people crowd, jostle. You see people who are just behave poorly, and it's... It reminds me of things I've seen where, is it Black Friday where they open the doors and everybody rushes in the store to get the three items that are the big hot deal, right?
Yeah, it's
like that.
Yeah, only orders of magnitude worse. Yeah,
but it would be absolutely impossible to see everything. There are so many different things going on, and then they have these conferences where you can go listen to lectures. And those go on at the same time the rest of the show is going on. So if you stayed and watched all the lectures, you wouldn't see anything else.
No.
It's absolutely impossible to see.
They send whole teams of people.
Yeah. It's just insane.
Meanwhile, it's just us. We're going to come back to CES. And next week, on next week's show, we're going to have an interview with a representative of the Consumer Electronics Association, CSA, Consumer Electronics Association, to talk about what happened at CES since we're not down there this year.
That's
we may
okay.
go in next year or the year after.
Yeah, probably the year after. We'll see what's shaping up in the tech news in 2018 as to whether we want to go to Consumer Electronics Show, because usually you get a sense of what's going to be there before you get there.
And
nothing so far indicating there's going to be any special things this year.
The big news this weekend, and it's a cause for concern, but I don't think absolute raw panic. But it is something to be aware of. What I'm talking about, of course, is Meltdown and Spectre,
right,
which sounds like something out of James Bond.
Yeah, it does. Or a military operation or something like that.
Now, this is a different sort of virus.
Right, and this is also mainstream media. I mean, you really have to be pretty isolated to not hear about this from some direction.
Now, the chip, the CPU, the central processing unit, the brains of every computer built for the last 20 years is affected by this issue. And a normal computer virus works through your operating system. It hijacks some portion of the operating system. That's why Mac users were so smug, because nobody bothered writing viruses to exploit Macs, because there weren't enough of them in places where they could gather valuable information or cause widespread havoc. And Linux, of course, tends to be a little more vulnerable, but it's a more robust operating system, because Linux is a derivative of the Unix operating system, which is very, very solid. But this particular exploit, this malware, actually works on the central processor itself, and it exploits a flaw in the processor. And it's just about all of them. Proof of concept exploits are already available. Now, Meltdown appears to be pretty much causing problems for Intel-based machines. Intel inside. Effectively, every computer made in the last 20 years.
Pretty much.
Unless it's an Apple machine. And Apples now have Intel processors in them. Now, AMD processors, they are the big number two, and then there's some specialty niche companies making CPUs. There's ARM, there's SNAP, there's Qualcomm, and a few others. The big problem here is that cloud computers, which are running Linux operating system, but they all have Intel processors. We've
right.
all seen the ads
right.
for the bank after bank after bank of Intel-powered servers, usually about one rack unit high. A rack is about an inch and a half tall, a rack unit. And actually, I think it's 1 7/8 inches tall. Anyway, the problem is every one of these machines that is serving up files, that is operating your web pages, that is doing your banking, all that, every one of these guys is vulnerable to this exploit. And what the exploit does is that it can copy data out of the CPU's memory and send it back to the hacker.
Yep. So they can get all kinds of super secret stuff that formerly you thought was fairly secure. So think of these chips or CPUs or whatever. They're sort of like parts in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not the machine itself, so you could. It's not dependent on brand of computer from the point of view that this isn't linked to one specific brand of computer, because all of these computer manufacturers use these chips in their computers.
So here's a good description in The Verge. The attacks found a way to extract data from the processor cache through a complex timing attack, sidestepping what are called privileges. Executed correctly, that could let a low-level process like a web plugin get access to passwords and other sensitive data held in a more secure part of the computer. On a personal PC, that attack would be most useful for privilege escalation, as a hacker running low-level malware could use Spectre to own your entire computer. But this is could also be a major event for cyber warfare. Imagine if you could shut down the entire U.S. banking system. And this has been the nightmare scenario, is that some bad actor, and you know the North Koreans are already working on this, or the Chinese, or whoever.
We've probably been working on something like this. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Imagine
we're not doing
every stinking ATM in the country going offline on the same day.
Would be most inconvenient indeed.
Mm-hmm. So often a CPU is running several different things at once, and where data is held in the processor's cache, I don't want to get too technical about it, but where data is held in the processor's cache, it could be leaked from one portion of the computer's programs to other portions of the computer's programs and then sent off to a hacker.
And what I find kind of interesting about this whole thing is how they accomplished it. They sort of did a timing trick, and that's what the virus does, is that it fools the computer into thinking
command is valid.
Right, that a command is valid, and it steals the information that way, so that it's kind of clever in that respect.
Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, Microsoft Azure all immediately deployed patches and probably had a lot of people working overtime the last couple of days to patch against the attack. And it is possible that having to run these patches will slow down the computers. Meanwhile, Windows 10 will be running updates, and I know that there's already an update in the works for Mac OS. So
what's not clear to me is how smartphones are affected by this, because there's a lot of cross-platform use with cloud things, Google Documents and such like, that you can actually access with your handheld
device.
Well,
the iPhone A6 series processors, which are built on a similar architecture, I'm told, to AMD, those may be vulnerable. Snapdragon processors, which run a lot of the Samsung phones and
Android
things like
devices.
Yeah, and now Samsung has their own processor. Those appear to be not quite as vulnerable, although the Spectre attack looks like it's going to be very difficult to keep from spreading across platforms. So a lot of people are very, very, this is just since Wednesday, and that it's like kicking the hornet's nest.
Well, apparently this vulnerability has been known about for some time. This is typical with these things. They don't seem to inform the consumer until very late in the game. But be that as it may, take any updates that your system shows very seriously in this particular case, because it probably has an update to help minimize any effects on your device due to these two viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So don't delay. I'm guilty of that sometimes. No, I don't want to update right now because I'm busy with it.
Turn your update cycles on.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you have the latest, greatest updates and take this one seriously.
Now, interestingly, Linus Torvalds, who is the inventor and founder of the Linux operating system. Now, as I mentioned a little while ago, Linux is an offshoot of Unix, which is that's what all the university computers used to run. Very, mm-hmm. very robust, solid processing,
operating system. Right. It's also a free operating system. You don't have to pay for it.
Well, Linux is, right. It's open source. Linus Torvalds very, very upset with Intel, saying that somebody really should look at their architecture and admit that they have problems instead of writing PR blurbs that say, everything works as designed.
Everything does work as designed, as if they have a design flaw.
Now, I can't quote this directly without getting my radio station in trouble. This is where a pure podcast would be nice. But basically, Torvald says, or is Intel basically saying, we are committed to selling you blank forever and ever and never fixing it anything. He is one of the world's best-known programmers, still deeply involved day-to-day with Linux. Now, Linux isn't used a lot by private users. Now, we have some fanatics in the audience of this program who are, totally sold on the Linux operating system, and more power to you. For most people, it's a little too complicated. The trouble is, with this particular problem, it doesn't care what the operating system is,
nope.
because the code executes
yep.
directly on the CPU.
Exactly. So this is a hardware issue, if you want to look at it that way. It's not a software issue. Well, they're using software to exploit a hardware flaw. There we go.
Yeah. So a lot of his irritation seems to be geared to the impression a fix of the issues is likely to cause computers running Intel processors to run a lot slower by as much as 30%. At one point... He is thinking that maybe ARM processors, which of course are a rival to ARM and AMD, could be a superior option for Linux developers.
May have their own flaws, but haven't been found yet.
Right. Carvalho's one of the highest profile technical voices criticizing Intel. He's not the only one dissatisfied. People are taking a hard look at the activities of Intel CEO Brian Krasnick. He sold $24 million worth of stock in November after becoming aware of the problem.
Yeah, well, maybe a little unethical, but if it's not illegal, then...
So this is this article that I'm looking at right now. By the way, all of our articles are listed in the Flipboard app, which you can get on iOS or you can get on your Android device from the website Quartz. This is great. The subhead is Intel Inside, and then it's got the emoji of the scream. You know, the famous Edvard Munch scream with the hands on the face, go, ah!
Yeah.
And the bug eyes. So. Intel's shares are dropping dramatically. AMD, which makes, of course, those rival processors, their stocks are coming up at about the same rate. This could be big. People could lose confidence in Intel-powered PCs.
That's possible.
Dun, 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 dun. I thought I did that pretty good. Yeah, as of Wednesday, the stock prices were all over the place.
Well, you know, if you still believe in Intel, they'll fix it and things will be nice again. Now's the time to buy Intel stock.
Yeah. As of right now, today, you probably don't have anything to panic about because the exploits are going to take a little time to develop. But you can bet that bad actors and countries who take delight in causing mischief around the world are rapidly working on these exploits.
Well, in any business or operation that does not take the steps to minimize or eliminate these vulnerabilities, if they have problems later on, shame on them.
Yeah. Now, Intel's statement said the meltdown bug does not have the potential to corrupt, modify, or delete data. Notice they say nothing about steal.
Right. in other words, it's not a ransomware type thing, I think is possibly what they're talking about.
Right, or that it might go in and corrupt your files or anything. No, it siphons off data and feeds it to an unknown party.
Probably another computer that processes it for passwords and PII, personally identifiable information, and things like that.
So, according to The Verge here, what can you do? Of course, make sure, whether you've got a Mac or a PC or a Linux machine, make sure that you... have the latest patch updates. Patch your browser. If you're using Firefox, make sure you're on the latest version. Same with Explorer, Edge. Google says they're going to roll out a Chrome fix on January the 24th. Apple's not yet commenting on fixing Safari browser. But you can bet it'll be happening. You can bet there's some software engineers working overtime.
Oh, yeah, lots of coffee.
This weekend. Lots of coffee, lots of...
pizza boxes.
Yeah, pizza boxes and Red Bull. And
to promote the stereotype of these things, right?
Yeah. Firmware update. Looks like they're going to try to flash what's called the BIOS on some of these chips, the hard memory that is... associated with the CPU, there'll be a detection tool for Windows and Linux users. The best thing to do if you have a Windows-powered PC, and we're talking HP, Dell, Lenovo, any of those, go ahead and make sure that you have the latest Windows 10 updates. If you have, again, make sure your Chrome or Firefox browser is updated. Check if you have a Windows machine, make sure that... again, the latest browsers, use the detection tool to see if you need a firmware update. Right now, this is all only against Meltdown. That's the more immediate of the two flaws. Spectre still largely unknown as to its threat. So are people probably a little bit over-concerned? Yeah, but, you know, let's better to be a little bit safe than find out much to your grief that you didn't take precautions soon enough.
Yep, for sure.
Now, I first heard about this morning, as a lot of people did, on the national news. We heard it on the BBC. And it was interesting hearing the commentator trying to, the BBC newscaster, trying to talk about Intel and AMD chips. And it was clear that they weren't too sure what they were talking about. We're not too sure what we're talking about.
Well, yeah. I think sometimes the details get lost in the hurry to get the message out. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. There's a great article on BBC News. If you search that, the headline, Major Flaw in Millions of Intel Chips Revealed. And if you search that in the browser of your choice or on your smartphone or tablet, you should be able to come up with the story. It gives a good overview. This is by Jane Wakefield. And is Jane Wakefield the BBC correspondent that we talked to? That name sounds familiar.
That might have been her.
Yeah, last year when we were at CES, on our way out to when we went out to see the drone port, you're on the bus for like an hour. And everybody, it was one of those 16-passenger buses.
Partly because the driver didn't know where he was going.
Right, the driver got lost. But we heard her talking, and it was obvious she was not from around these parts. And it turned out she was a BBC. And I'm pretty sure that was her name was Jane. A very nice young lady. It really knows her tech stuff.
And if it wasn't Jane, it was still the same. It was a very nice
person. So BBC has a good tech reporting department. And, of course, their stuff focuses on the U.K. This article from the BBC says the U.K.'s National Cybersecurity Center says they're aware of the issues. Patches are being produced. But will that cause an overall slowdown in how your computer runs?
It's going to be very interesting. If you have an older machine, that may not be a welcome thing. It's already slow enough, right? So having it slower, even slower, is not desirable.
Yeah. So is this a panic? It's something to be aware of,
right,
and to keep an ear open for.
Much of this is out of your individual control, or our individual control.
The best thing you can... Now, don't just turn off your computer and leave it off. As a matter of fact, you have a Windows 10 machine. You might want to leave it on overnight. I mean, it's not... This is not a bug that's going to allow a bad guy to turn on your camera or to turn on your microphone or do any of that stuff.
No.
This is a bad thing, is that certain pieces of data that are stored in the processor's cache, which is sort of like the bread box for your processor, it puts stuff in there and stores it until it is ready to use. The cache may be read and sent off to a remote site. That's the vulnerability. And so it's not going to make your computer rise up and smack you in the face or anything like that. You know, your lights will not begin blinking at random, and a electronic hand isn't going to reach out of your CPU and grab you by the out of your computer and grab you by the throat.
Although there's times
that's in the movies.
There's times you may want to throttle your computer
yourself,
right? So the thing about this is that I don't think we're done with this in the news yet. I think there's going to be a bit more information about what's going on and how many companies have their patches in place and that sort of thing. And as people are working out there with these things in place, the Spectre and Meltdown, then we're going to be able to learn more about what the final effect is on everything. So stay tuned on that story, because there's probably more to come on that, is my guess.
Yeah. So, of course, type in. Now, if you go to a site like Engadget or The Verge or PC Mag or one of those, don't just type in the Meltdown or Spectre and then click on the first thing that comes up. So I guarantee you that bad actors are immediately going to be putting... I bet they're up there already.
Stuff
if I go
up
look.
There, if you click on it, you're downloading malware.
Take Meltdown off your computer now. Click here. Never respond to one of those.
There's
okay?
That
please,
too, yeah.
Please.
Do not do that.
But, yeah, the dates vary, but essentially it's ever since the CPUs, the x86 architecture CPUs came out, which was right around 1995. So,
all these things require maintenance and knowledge about what it is, what make, model, vintage that you have. It can be a bit daunting.
Hitting the bottom of the hour, Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Be back. Look at Consumer Electronics. Oh, CES. We're not supposed to call it Consumer Electronics Show anymore. More after this.
Oh.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work. Something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well-versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world.
Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. Tech news you can use, and of course the theme music, 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood. He's a he's a guy who makes commercial music, lives in the UK. I guess he's not doing that anymore because making commercial music is
not as lucrative.
Is not a terribly lucrative thing. No.
Yeah.
a lot of people trying to do that. Anyway, we like the theme. We got his permission to use it, and that's what you're hearing. Speaking of people we like, we have to throw the shout out to Advanced Automotive of Reading, who have been staunch supporters of this program since we first took to the air 8 years ago. Cody and Tim Morlock. If you want to see a place where technology is just wild. As an example, my 2004 Jeep Wrangler had a weird problem. And they had sensors, they were reading the computers, and the readout of all the different parameters of the Jeep, just a simple Jeep that they can keep track of, is just amazing.
Yep. It's pretty crazy. Turned out to be an analog problem.
Yeah, it did. There was some contamination in the water pump.
Yeah, it took a while to sleuth it out.
All right. CES, by the time, is just about ready to get underway. When you're hearing this program, the early phases are getting underway with unveiled and pre-show events and everybody getting ready to get geared up. The first of product unveilings will take place tomorrow, Sunday, January 7th. Just every niche of cons- Now, the first CES, of course, was 1974. Think about that.
Yep.
Or was it 78, I guess, because VCRs and the Sony Walkman and, you know, those. In fact, last year, well, yeah, it was the 50th anniversary. 68 was the first one, 50th anniversary. The display they had of the vintage technology in the main hall there.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, some of the products that were really big at CES over the years. Now, they used to hold it in New York.
The bad part is, I remember most of that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, I remember those.
Yep.
Sony Walkman, that was big stuff.
Yep. Leaders in virtually every tech category. Now, automobiles, of course, which never used to be, people didn't put tech and automobiles in the same can. But now, of course, the two are pretty much inseparable. So here's some of the biggest trends that you will see making headlines at the show. 5G. What is 5G? Well,
next generation.
That is the next iteration of over-the-air wireless data.
Most modern phones are using 4G right now.
Right, and will for place. The foreseeable future. 5G right. networks are just starting to be, they've been tested. There's a story later on in the show that AT&T is going to start late this year rolling out initial 5G networks, even though there won't be a lot of handsets that can use them. The wireless carriers are conducting trials of the ultra-high-speed networking tech, and at the 2018 Olympics, there'll be a test network rolled out.
That's coming up forthwith.
Yep. So Qualcomm, Verizon, China's Baidu, everyone's going to be talking 5G.
faster. There's no devices out there available to use it yet.
Yeah. Remote healthcare, what it is that Right now, 4G can sort of kind of stream a video if you're really lucky. 5G, it'll be practically effortless at those speeds. But security cost, privacy, 5G has got a lot of promises and a lot of challenges to meet.
I'm wondering about our infrastructure. With that, it does not require any difference in physical infrastructure, right?
A tower is a tower is a tower. Just new bits and pieces
new
to go on the infrastructure.
Transmitter, receiver kind of things. Well,
self-driving cars. Now we've refocused. We've got a pretty good idea of how to keep them from running into things and other people. Automakers know that driverless tech alone won't cut it. Now in a race to show the most innovative and practical visions of car interiors and infotainment systems. In other words, what do you do when you don't have to actually drive the car?
But you do have to drive the car, at least for a while.
Yeah. A lot of manufacturers are trying to reimagine the car when it's pretty much a pod.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be slow adoption, but for people who have disabilities, for people who are mobility challenged, for people maybe blind, a true driverless autonomous system. Yes, but what if? Yes, but what? And you always hear those objections. But I keep going back to the old story about, and I think it was in England, when a motor car first came out. It required that a man walk in front of the motor car swinging a lantern.
Yep. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it was new technology and not well understood, and it was fairly dangerous. But we got used to it. We jump into our cars every day without a second thought, don't we?
Give it absolutely no thought.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how quickly that develops.
In addition to driverless technology, alternative fuel technology.
I was in that same article and I got lost.
Ah.
Alternative
fuels have been a big bag, mixed bag. The Chevy Bolt actually debuted at CES.
Yep. That's not exactly it is alternative fuel in that it deals with electricity.
Yep. Remember Faraday Future was the big thing last year, and everybody wanted to go see the Faraday Future, and they were going to change the world? Well, the company went into a prompt death spiral.
Maybe
which
they
is
got
often
overwhelmed.
What happens with these technologies.
Well, that's true.
Anybody seen a 3D television lately? You haven't. Guess why? But a couple of years ago, that was the thing, wasn't it?
Well, that was the thing we were told was going to be the thing. But in reality, that didn't work out so well. It's sort of like the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing.
Yep. The smart home wars, which really aren't working out that way. In 2017, manufacturers were falling all over themselves to show devices that were working with Alexa. Google Home was still kind of like, I don't know what we've got. Now, Google Home is proven itself to be a very viable system. Meanwhile, Alexa has spread out into other devices. The new generation of tablets from Amazon incorporate Alexa. The new smart TVs.
Yep. A lot of voice control. I think that we're going to see more and more voice control of things. Different gestures maybe, but voice control. I was thinking about that this morning at work when the computer was doing something, and I was like, why can't I just tell it what I want it to do?
Yeah.
But we may get there where that voice recognition is so good that it's you can actually have a conversation with your computer.
Now, third-party manufacturers of smart fridges, speakers, and security cameras will build compatibility for both systems into their products, so it won't matter if you have a Home or an Echo, you'll be able to command it with either one. And I think that's the smart money.
That is a good thing to do. It's just like having an iOS device, an iPhone versus an Android phone. The I lost my train of thought. I forgot.
Well, Apple is smugly thinking that
cross-platform compatibility. Yeah. There we go. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Apple smugly thinking that their HomePod system is going to come along and blow everybody out of the water at twice the price.
Ooh, not sure to get by with that.
Right. Now, to counter this, of course, Echo and Home have both been selling at practically cost, if not a little below, to maintain their market share.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Apple appears to be dragging its feet with HomePod. And yes, the fans will buy Apple because if it's got Apple on it, it must be magic. Right?
Well, it seems like that, right?
But so far, HomeKit isn't quite ready for prime time.
Huh.
Digital health has been a trend at CES for the last couple of times.
Quite a while. There's been huge portions of the show devoted to health and fitness and that sort of thing. Although, I find it interesting, I have a coworker that just got a new Fitbit, and his comment about the steps were that it seemed pretty accurate because he did actual counted segment, and the thing was able to tell him that's how many steps he took. Yeah. So that's pretty good. And if you're off a little bit, well, it's not that big a deal. It skips a beat, counting your steps, for instance. Not a big deal. But statistics have shown that most people that get things like Fitbits, they play with them for a while, and then they end up on the shelf.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what do you do with that? And what if my stride is longer than yours, or shorter, you know, yours is longer than mine? It seems to count these things so that, you know, it works. Yeah. I'm not sure how that goes. At any rate, the it appears that in the digital health department, the tech is turning to more professional grade, I guess, professional level.
Absolutely. Digital health is a big field. And remember the classic TV show Emergency?
Oh, yeah.
And they would hook up the radio
EKG
machine and send the heartbeat back to the hospital.
Right.
With that 1970s technology. Well, imagine being able to slap a module onto a victim and get all their vitals monitored in real time, both for the professional and for the physician back at home base.
Right, exactly. And telemetry, some more sophisticated information. And I could see this leading to some trends of people being able to possibly get out of a hospital sooner or be able to be monitored at home for tests without having to go somewhere.
Telemedicine in remote areas is a big thing.
Yep, and that sort of thing as well. So there's some real interesting trends there that could be that. Fitness is a little tougher to know where that's headed. There's doesn't seem to me like there's been a whole lot of advancement in using technology.
You're
and
still
fitness.
Gonna have to start putting one foot in front of the other. You have to do the work. Yeah.
That's true. But you know, having screens that you can look at while you're bicycling and things like that. I mean, they just really haven't improved much on that sort of thing. Nothing new, horribly new and innovative there.
Mm-hmm. Well, just when you thought that OLEDs were the top of the TV food chain, along comes micro LEDs. Of course, TVs still are a big part of CES. About 10 years ago, OLEDs were still very much a
kind of a young
future product. They weren't very big. They were kind of crappy.
Now nothing could be further from the truth, actually. They're big, bright, and beautiful.
Now, 8K TVs were shown off at 2017, but they were not yet ready to go out into the wild
and
to the public.
Yeah, no content.
Yeah, there's no content for 8K right now. 4K content we're barely starting to see as yet. However, I would say if you're going to go get, let's say you want to get yourself a Super Bowl TV, this is the year I'd go ahead and buy a 4K unit because content is starting to show up. You might find, and they're getting cheap.
A little
cheap.
Bit is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's much cheaper. Yeah.
You might
true.
Find a 1080 set dirt cheap, but go ahead and get a 4K. I think they have now matured, and that's a change. I was recommending before people stick with a 1080 set, but now the 4K sets
it's
have reached a level of maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they are pretty vivid.
So there's a new display technology called micro-LED, similar to OLED, except that instead of an organic device, an organic chemistry-derived light-emitting diode, the pixels are extremely small. Micro-LEDs have advantages over OLEDs, better contrast, brightness, and energy efficiency, and better resistance to burn-in. A lot of OLED
yeah.
screens are if you leave them, it's kind of like the old phosphor dots on
right.
CRTs getting burnt if you left the same image on
yeah.
too long.
Burn an image into the screen, yep.
Samsung is said to be planning to unveil a 150-inch micro-LED TV. 4K, essentially, again, mainstream. And I just knocked myself off the page.
Oh,
there.
I was going to let's see, that's over 11 feet.
Yeah, that's a big screen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, of course. Let's see here.
That's on the diagonal, though, I believe.
Yeah, that's a 155-inch. Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, 150-inch diagonal.
Yeah,
that's a big screen.
So on that diagonal, it would be 12.5 feet from corner to opposite corner.
Yeah,
or a kitty corner.
Yeah, that's a
that's huge.
Yep.
I mean, think about that. It's basically wall sized.
Now people ask me how big of TV
huge.
Should I have?
How do you transport that?
Yeah, exactly. Very carefully.
Yeah.
The average. Consumer living room, I would say for an average family house, a 60-inch is probably maybe a 70 if you've got an extraordinarily large family room. But for our purposes, our 60-inch is more than adequate. It takes up, because we sit about 8 feet, about 8 feet from the screen.
Yep,
yeah.
I'll bet.
And our 60-inch is perfect for, plus we've got it elevated up a bit. And the sound bar right underneath it, which, by the way, if you buy any flat screen, get a sound bar because it really does make a big difference. The built-ins are
yeah,
junk.
Yeah, not very good. On purpose. They do that on purpose. They don't purposely put good screen or speakers on TVs. Let's see here. One of the things, you know, that's been pushed at CES for a number of years is virtual reality. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of that when we went last year. And they had these little booths set up. And one of the problems they're discovering with virtual reality that unless your body is subjected to some kind of forces that makes sense with what the eyes are seeing, the brain says, wait a minute, something's not right here. And
that's where the vertigo kicks
yeah,
in.
Yeah, vertigo
that.
Can kick in and that sort of thing. So the flip side of virtual reality is augmented reality. And apparently there's a couple companies that have worked on this augmented reality. And
where that's really going to kick in, I think, is an industrial application.
Right. Have some they think there's a lot of applications for this, and it could be a whole lot more prevalent than virtual reality because mm-hmm. this has so many practical applications to it, and there's just so much you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the Apple iPhone X with their AR kit is going to be a big player in this field. But dedicated augmented reality glasses, while they won't be showing up on store shelves anytime soon, I think that AR has, even the heads-up displays in some cars are a form of augmented reality.
Yeah, that's true.
And the military, of course, playing with this heads-up displays.
Yep.
Of course, now that Apple AirPods have been successful, everybody's going to be jumping into the wireless headphone, wireless earbud trend, and there'll be just some absolute junk out there being sold.
Maybe ultimately you get one of these things permanently.
Yeah. AirPod imitators will be everywhere at CES 2018, according to this author. Now, some seem to have an extra gimmick, like being able to monitor your heartbeat. Why?
Yeah. Well, if you were in an exercise club, for instance, and you're listening to your music, and maybe that's a feature of it, you know, undoubtedly you could have an app with that and track these things. So rather than have another device hooked to you, like Fitbit or something, maybe they do that, or it sends that message. Possibly there's an app in development that sends, if there's a problem with the rhythm of it or whatever, that for older people to maintain their independence, it might call a number, something like the Life Alert system, where the, you know, if they fall down, they can push a button or whatever. Devices around the house. They just recently got those, so they'd work with cell phones, by the way, the mm-hmm. Life Alert. But anyway, if you have that telemetry tied into something in the ear, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I could see phone calls being automatically being made or something.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But it, just because you can do it doesn't mean that it's a good idea.
Yeah, you should. Just because you can do it.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that. It's like, who thought this was a good idea to make
that
this thing?
You see there's so much of that at CES. Yeah. And they're so proud of iPad built into the potty chair.
Yeah. No, it wasn't built in.
Well, it was, had a stand for
yes,
an iPad.
Had a stand for an iPad.
And it would presumably on the entertain
trainer.
The little type
yes.
and reward them
yes.
for doing the
yes.
doing the right thing into the potty chair.
Absolutely.
And these two, I think they were Indian gentlemen, were so proud of this thing. And you're looking at it going, okay.
Oh, everybody thought it was cute and yeah. commented on it. But
it's like the connected umbrella. Why?
Yeah, why?
Why does my umbrella need to be connected?
I just was shaking my head over that one. That was funny.
Hey, in the couple of minutes we have before the end of this hour, you have a pet peeve with autoplay videos.
Yes, I hate them. And they eat up CPU time, especially if I'm looking at them on my phone.
Now, on Facebook, you can turn them off,
right.
but a lot of other stuff, they just float
yeah,
on
they
through.
Just, right. And so it eats up energy. Very annoying.
Yep. Now,
maybe I don't want to watch your dumb video.
On browsers, this has become a special problem. Now, time was just a year or so ago, most content that would autoplay a video was Flash. So all you had to do was make sure that Flash was turned off. Well,
right.
Flash has had a lot of problems. Security issues, and
yep.
Has fallen very much out of favor. Most browsers keep Flash turned off because it can exploit code on your computer. And stepped over to what's called HTML5, which is a set of coded instructions that, among other things, can embed the video right into the web page. Well, aha! These videos will play automatically. And unless you have a browser extension that specifically cuts those videos off, they will play.
Yep.
Why can't you easily... Now, think about this. Why can't you easily turn those videos off?
Well, they don't want you to.
They don't want you to. That's right.
But the more that gets forced on me, the less likely I am to watch them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, stay away from web pages that serve up self-playing videos. If you have Firefox, you can get an extension. The Chrome Opera browser is building one in. A solution is on the way for Chrome, and I'm pretty sure that Edge and Safari will be not far behind.
Oh, good.
That's it for this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. Bob and Brenda will see you after the news. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. Good, honest, reliable.
More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRoxford. Some states are considering tax changes after the federal tax overhaul, with the big concern that taxpayers will owe the IRS more because of a new limit on how much they can deduct for paying state and local taxes.
In high-tax states like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and California, the aim is protecting residents from bigger bills from the IRS. Elsewhere, states are trying to determine whether the changes will bring them more revenue and decide whether they should send that back to taxpayers.
Julie Walker reporting. Well, after the storm comes the big cleanup, like digging out your car so you can drive.
We've been plowed in nicely, very neatly. I think we're on the heavier side of the street with snow. So I'm just getting the front wheel out, the back wheel out.
Brutally cold conditions are gripping the East Coast from Virginia all the way north to Vermont. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says many of the claims in a new book about President Trump called Fire and Fury are not true.
He makes it sound like he was sitting outside the Oval Office every single day, which is just not the case. This is a guy who made up a lot of stories to try to sell books, and I think more and more people are starting to see that his facts just simply don't add up.
Sanders spoke with Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends yesterday, the day that the book dropped. Meanwhile, the president is personally pushing back against the new book that portrays him as a leader who doesn't understand the weight of the presidency and whose competence is questioned by aides. In a series of tweets this morning, Mr. Trump says he's like really smart and a very stable genius. And the Trump administration's providing one of the most detailed blueprints yet on how the president hopes to carry out a signature campaign pledge, building the wall on the Mexican border. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
You know, you can get tremendous pain relief benefits with Relief Factor without any of the negative side effects of ibuprofen. Why? Because this is natural, healthy stuff. There are no side effects. There's no prescription drugs. There's no chemicals. Just good, healthy dietary supplements that unleash your own body's natural healing powers. 80% of people who start with a quick start, just $19.95 for 3 whole weeks, end up getting more Relief Factor. You should give it a try. Again, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll-free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll-free. 1-800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Malaysia's government said today that it's approved a new attempt to find the wreckage of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 nearly 4 years after the plane's disappearance sparked one of aviation's biggest mysteries. Malaysia's Transport Minister Liao Tiong Lai said he wants the next of kin to know the investigation into the 2014 disappearance will continue.
There's good news for all of us, good news for all the NOK, that we are continuing with the search. But I don't want to give too much hope, too high hope to the NOK, because we have to be very consistent that we are committed to look for answers.
The U.S.-based company Ocean Infinity dispatched a search vessel this past week to look in the southern Indian Ocean for debris from the plane, which disappeared March 8, 2014. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Spectrum Brands is looking for a buyer for its batteries and appliances business.
The consumer products company, which makes Rayovac and Kwikset, wants to concentrate on its four remaining businesses. They include hardware and home improvement, global auto care, global pet supplies, and home and garden. Executive Chairman David Mora says selling the businesses will allow Spectrum Brands Holdings, based in Middleton, Wisconsin, to lower debt, buy back shares, and make some acquisitions.
Correspondent Jeremy House reports Morris says the company is in active talks with several potential buyers. Japanese airbag maker Takata recalling another 3.3 million faulty inflators as it continues to expand, the largest automotive recall in U.S. history. The latest covers frontal airbags in certain 2009, 2010, and 2013 vehicles. News and analysis. Get them both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back. It's Hour 2 of Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world, the tech news you can use here in this very first week of January 2018. We've been talking about Consumer Electronics Show. We will try to focus on other shows, other news events of the week in the tech world.
Yep.
By the way, you've heard us mentioning this a few times about cryptocurrency mining viruses. And what these are is little bits of malicious code that can get into your computer. This is completely unrelated to Meltdown or Spectre. This is a piece of code that runs in your operating system. A cryptocurrency mining virus is being distributed via Facebook Messenger. Now, the difference here is, of course, is that you've got
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. Borrows computer processing power to mine cryptocurrency without your knowledge. The virus is named DigMine. It appears to have originated in South Korea, has shown up in various parts of the world. According to Trend Micro, it sends victims an executable script posing as a downloadable video.
Oh, tricky.
Yeah. Now, the file is only malicious if the victim clicks on it within Facebook Messenger on Chrome's desktop browser. When clicked on, the script sends users to a decoy video streaming website. It downloads the malware in the background to begin mining cryptocurrency, which slows down your computer.
Right. It steals CPU time. Probably does a bunch of other nasty
it's
things,
It's sort
too.
Of like on your computer. It's sort of like somebody pulls up behind you in heavy traffic and drops a hook onto your bumper.
Yeah, kind of. And
you're towing them along like a trailer.
Yes.
Ah, dear. You know, Netflix does have a lot of guilty pleasures when it comes to their shows. We've enjoyed, of course, Stranger Things.
Yep.
Which was a really great sleeper hit.
And there's no ads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's assumed, you know, when you have streaming with these things. I wouldn't even mind a version that has ads in the beginning and ads at the end, sort of like PBS does with their programming. I can deal with that. But it sure is nice not to have those interruptions in the storyline. And I think it's created some different styles of writing for Netflix as well when there's Netflix productions.
Mm-hmm. So couple of hidden gems if you have not become aware. Now, I told one of our regular visitors here to the radio station, James Masada, who's quite the tech geek, because we were talking about downsides of technology. And I said, well, if you're worried about the downsides of technology and how it impacts social behaviors, by all means, start watching Black Mirror. And it's a very limited series.
Right. There's four seasons, but there's only...
three, four episodes
a
season.
Yeah, not very many episodes per season. But think of this as a very upgraded version of The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Tech twist.
Right, with a tech twist. And well, there were often a lot of techy things in the original Twilight Zone, too, mm-hmm. but some of them were social. But there's a lot of just brilliant writing in it. Mm-hmm. And you have to stick with the story because there's the episode we watched where there's very little dialogue, actually. So you have to kind of watch to figure out what
the story
is.
Some of these stories start out really slow because it's British TV, for one thing. And they lay a lot of foundation and then they up and slap you. They're introducing what appears to be a fairly innocuous technology, such as the one we watched last night, where you have an implant that is recording everything you see and you can...
Playback.
Replay at any time, or you can either for yourself or put it up on a screen, and it's designed as a memory aid and also as, I guess, a
sharing
type
like
thing.
Social
media. Ultimate social media.
Right, the ultimate social media.
And it has some very bad consequences.
In the storyline.
Yeah, and it's worth a watch. There was another one where people's whole self-worth was determined through their social media score.
Right.
And how many likes they had.
Right.
If you... fell down and there was a couple of those. Your social media, your average rating, and if you
right.
were below a certain rating,
right.
you weren't allowed into certain parts, or
right.
you couldn't get good. It was like your credit rating, only
yeah.
your social rating.
Right.
And another one that we saw where
your status in society. Yeah, your status in society was based on the number of merits that you had.
Yeah, so and good viewing, and we're just getting our teeth into season two.
Some of it is a little bit on the dark side from the point of view that it doesn't always have a happy ending,
yeah,
if you want to look at it that way.
Dark side of technology.
But
yeah.
What is refreshing about it is the quality of acting and writing,
mm-hmm.
certainly.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that the storylines, the technology that's used, even though quite a bit of it doesn't exist in our world. It's very easy
An
to see.
An extension of what we
exactly.
have now.
Exactly. It's definitely a possible extension of what we have now. And so you can very readily relate to the technology part of it because of the parallels with things that we do have in existence, such as Facebook
mm-hmm.
or Instagram or, mm-hmm. or what have you.
A warning, the show is not for kids. It is definitely an adult-themed show. A lot of language that it is a lot of not safe for work language.
Yeah.
But it's very British. And, but it does, it really
very
causes,
well done.
It's good food for conversation.
Yeah,
Black Mirror.
Very done, very well done. And each episode is different.
Yeah, every
it's not,
episode is
yeah,
a standalone.
Like the Twilight Zone.
It's an anthology
each,
series.
Right. Each thing you don't see, they don't have recurring characters and things mm-hmm. like that. Each one is a cell in a story.
Now,
all
you
of
might
its own.
See, I think I've seen the same actor show up in a couple of episodes, but he's a completely
different
character.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're all set, so far, just slightly into the future, say 5-10 years down the road when some transformational technology is
right,
hit.
Right.
Another big genre of television and movies are what are called urban fantasies. There's a whole all the books on there. Think Blade Runner meets Blade Runner meets Lord of the Rings.
Kind of. What was that? Alien show, the aliens showed up on the planet. Alien Nation. They had the model Alien Nation.
Alien Nation, yeah. That was...
I never watched that in its
entirety. Yeah. It was a movie and then later on a television series. Yeah. And I actually had some props left over from that show because there was a place in San Diego that sold old movie props. And that apparently hadn't been snapped up by the collector's market. This was back in the 90s.
But. So there's a movie out. You can get it on Netflix. It was a theater movie, I believe.
No, it was an original production.
It was an original production from Netflix only. Okay.
They were stepping into major production.
Okay, as a movie. Okay, so I got I thought it was in the movie theater and then it hit, but it's not. The title of the film, if you want to look at it, is called Bright, just like Bright Light.
One of the tag, you know, think Bad Boys meets Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the cop show, Bad Boys.
So if you like elves and orcs and centaurs and dragons, but put them into an urban setting.
Right.
And this is a big literary genre.
Right.
Is the urban fantasy, it's called.
And the visuals are great. From that capacity. So humans are not the only ones around. And elves in this production are kind of like the mafia. Sort of strike
well,
you that way.
Society.
Yeah, very high society.
And they're
but
all
they,
rich. And
but they also strike you as a little bit about, like the mafia. Somewhat.
Aloof. Very
yeah,
aloof.
In their own,
and scary.
Yeah, it is kind of scary.
And orcs. Who'd have thought orcs could be likable characters?
There you go.
So, This movie obviously aimed at individuals who grew up with a Dungeons and Dragons, Lord of the Rings sort of mindset. And like Chronicles of Shannara and a lot of other offerings, this puts the whole thing into
an urban
Los
thing.
Angeles setting.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty
very
interesting.
Cool. So it's an this is a form of alternate universe story.
And the... obviously, at the end of this, the one that's on Netflix right now, they had set themselves up for a sequel with no problem. So it'll be interesting to see the sequel, though, because the first film lays a nice foundation for some things. It's actually quite well done.
Well, one of the things...
Critics
one of the,
hated
yeah,
it, but... The,
because they didn't have a context.
Well,
the movie
I
was made for fans of the genre.
Right.
So if you understood the genre and you knew, had an idea of... Well, why would there be fae and orcs and centaurs and everything else and little fairies?
The surprise. The fairies, they're obnoxious. This is not Tinkerbell.
Right.
That's pretty
in this
funny.
Movie universe, magic is a common tool. And there's an actual mock documentary that we'll have to look for exploring the lore. It's kind of a behind the scenes, but it also explores the lore of Bright and Netflix.
Right, it explains the cultural context that are referenced to in the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, who is the Dark Lord and all that? In modern history, magic has been banned. The FBI has a special task force against the use of magic. If you haven't seen Bright, you'll want to see it. Netflix has announced that they will be doing a sequel. Now, the movie was just crushed by the critics, but fans loved it.
Right. The viewers loved it. What's kind of neat about it, I think, is even though it's a their graphic novel, there's a lot of graphic novels.
Yes,
of the
a lot
genre,
of references.
Right? And that sort of thing. I think this is the first movie, so from that point of view, it's fresh and different. It takes character kinds that we're familiar with, ideas of magic and things like that, and puts them in here. But it puts it into a new, fresh, from a movie point of view, perspective or combination that's original.
Yeah.
It's not a remake of some movie that was done 20 years ago, which the movie industry seems to be doing a lot of.
Yeah.
So, or it's formulaic like the latest Star Wars movie where it's, you know, pretty predictable.
speaking of which, a lot of people, you either are disappointed or, it was all right. Now, I don't know anybody's going absolutely
crazy
gaga
over it.
It's
sort of like the second act, you know, it's got some, it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
With the current
episode.
In the
middle of a three-story arc.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it? it's Act Two, and so you're kind of left hanging in some respects. But it's not objectionable by any means. But there's no big surprises either. So it'll be interesting. And while we're on the aspect of tech and movies and that sort of thing, a movie that we have not seen was recommended by a friend. It's called Downsizing. And it involves some technology that's invented, and it you're able to shrink down people down to 5 inches tall.
So they consume less.
So they consume less, right. Footprint is minuscule, and wealth is different. So assets in the normal human-sized world translate into so much more in the shrunken people. And this isn't Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of stuff. This is a more deeper social commentary on such things, and the critics aren't real thrilled with it, but according to our friend, it's really quite thought-provoking, and so I'm anxious to see that and how they did it. If nothing else, the visuals are very well done. Everyone agrees with that, that the way that they put things together with large people next to the shrunken people, and made it credible.
Land of the Giants.
Yeah, Land of the Giants, and made it credible from a visual perspective, was a nice piece of technological trickery, visual trickery that works. Apparently, it's quite credible, and it works very well.
By the way, Land of the Giants was an Irwin Allen TV series, along with Time Tunnel and Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, from old Master of Disaster himself.
Kind of like the land time forgot sort of thing.
Yeah, and Land of the Giants, it was about a shuttle that was taken to a parallel universe where everybody happened to be 50 feet tall. Made life interesting. Now, time was, when I was first aware of what a personal computer was in the late 70s, you had what were called mainframes, and you had minis, and they had what were called micros. Remember those days?
Microcomputers.
Yeah. Mainframes, minis, and micros. And a mini was a computer that was roughly the size of a bar refrigerator.
Yeah, a little 1.5 cubic foot refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your dorm room refrigerator.
Or the short maybe a one, little bit larger. One. Yeah, maybe, you know, about 3-4 feet tall. In fact, the first radio station I worked at had a mini computer that used 8-inch floppy drive.
So that would be like the dorm computer.
No, it didn't even
dorm room refrigerator.
It used tape. I remember that. It used cassette tapes. That was the thing. Meanwhile, if you wanted to play with a computer at home, you got yourself an Apple II. That was the very, the Apple I was, of course, the hobby computer that Jobs and Wozniak built. And then the Apple II really spread out.
Yeah. That, yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of application
software. You could do stuff with Apple II.
Well, on January the 2nd, 1979, the very first computerized spreadsheet called VisiCalc was brought to market. It was computing's first killer app to help transform the personal computer from cool-to-have toys into must-have business accessories. Suddenly, businesses everywhere were getting into personal computing, and Apple could have owned that market, but they kind of lost their way a little bit. And, of course, IBM came along with a business-oriented machine that you still had to enter command lines and stuff like that, but it was a more powerful machine, and Bill Gates became an incredibly rich man as a result.
Well, VisiCalc for Apple also sold a prodigious number, something over 700,000 copies in 6 years. So that's, over 100,000 copies per year. The cost of the program was equivalent to $350 today's dollars, so that was pretty expensive. And a lot of customers bought a $2,000 Apple II computer just to be able to run it, which is funny because I've noticed the price of up-to-date computers hasn't really changed much. If you want the latest, greatest, hottest thing, it's
right
always been around
$1,000. It's
$1,500 to $2,000. So that would maybe a little more, that 2000's a little bit more. But other rivals started to show up later. I remember this, Lotus 1-2-3.
Yes.
I remember that. And Microsoft Excel, which, of course, is still in business, although it's now quite sophisticated.
Yeah.
Excel is much more complicated than like Lotus 1-2-3 was, or even the original version of Excel.
Right. So for people who are in business, VisiCalc was the first serious business tool and introduced the electronic spreadsheet to a very eager audience, because you weren't doing the blue, the black ink, red ink on green paper approach to all your bookkeeping.
Yep, and it would do some calculations for you, so it reduced errors, mm-hmm. which is still true.
Let's see here. There's a from Android Central. Now, by the way, all the stories that you hear on Boomer Tech Radio can be found, at least most of the stories, can be found on the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, which is part of the Flipboard app. We are a published magazine on Flipboard, private. We don't have a lot of followers, but we'd appreciate a few more. So if you download Flipboard and subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio, you have to have all three words strung together. You can subscribe to the magazine and follow along on some of the stories. We don't use everything, and we certainly don't just sit here and read the stories to you, but we kind of get ideas and give you our take on them.
How many of you have a living room coffee table that is overrun with remotes for your devices or gosh knows what you've got going on, right?
Yeah.
So how do you kind of like tidy up your living room setup is to use some of these technologies to your advantage, such as Google Home or Amazon Echo, which give you the capability to control programming even. So if you put the Chromecast and Google Home together, because they're both Google products, then, you know, you can say, hey, I want to watch this program. I'll go find it for you.
Right. Now, back in the 1990s, I helped install home theater systems. And the whole idea there was that you took all these distinctly different TVs and players and music sources and projectors, and you combined all those codes into a single device where you had a little touch screen, and you would simply execute a series. You would touch one button, turn on the TV, set the input to the right set to the right input, turn on the video player, and if there was a disc in it, start playing. These were 12-inch video discs too, but DVDs were just coming out. While I was doing the now streaming didn't exist then, but the DVDs had just come out when I was doing home theater.
But that's not a cheap system.
No, they'd
one screen to rule them all. In that case, though, you know, you weren't going to find that in the average home.
These home automation systems were on an average $10,000 plus.
Right.
Now, the very first flat screen that I helped install in 1998 was a 20-inch plasma that had an asking price of $19,000.
Imagine that. 19 inches, which is like...
it was a 40-inch, 40-inch flat panel plasma. But it was $19,000.
We don't even have anymore.
No, plasma is outdated.
Yes.
Because
people
it has burn-in.
But they
stopped
you don't
selling
buy
plasmas a few years ago.
You can't buy them anymore. So not to be outdone by Google, Amazon has its combination, of course, of the Amazon Echo and the Amazon Fire TV, which talk to each other and using voice controls. Another thing is that we had one remote to replace all of our other remotes, and the cat chewed through the wire. At the wrong place. So it died.
Yeah.
So we need
That's
to get another
Logitech,
one.
That's the Logitech, and they've improved them now, the Logitech Harmony Remote Series.
Right.
There's a couple of different iterations out there. And what you do with the Logitech is that you actually have an app, and you tell the app what devices you own, what model, you know, what TV you have, what player you have, what cable box you have, and all that. And it sets up the screen so that you're back to just one button push to fire up the TV, to launch the player, begin playing a disc, or go to a specific channel on your streaming service.
Yep. Those are, we've talked about our experiences with Google Home and Amazon Echo, but we haven't used them quite to that level yet. we've found that sometimes there can be some tricky things about getting them to talk to each other and stay connected. And you would really only have one at a time, right? You're not going to have them both.
Yeah. Now, the Chromecast Ultra plugs into a port of your TV, and it can use the, if you have high-end speakers connected to your TV set, which a lot of people do nowadays, you can order your Google Home to play your favorite music station and route it through the speakers tied into your TV, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I'm still waiting for the Google Home Max to show up, which is the $300, 400-pound. It's a very large, very powerful speaker.
Yeah,
got Google Home built in. It looks nice too.
Well, and it's the whole thing about this is like can be your stereo system or your surround sound type system for your television and that sort of thing. So it has to have a little beef to perform at that level.
And if you have a Chromecast TV, on multiple TVs throughout the house, you can actually have whole house audio. And that used to be a big, expensive proposition, whole house audio video systems. So take a look. Do your little research. Chromecast and Google Home, much simpler setup for the modern entertainment system. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This is the tech news you can use. Back for one more segment right after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
We're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them. I personally am driving a brand-new 2018 Kia Niro, the highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017, and I am impressed. My gas mileage is crazy good. It has an EPA-rated 51 miles per gallon city. Reading Kia has 36 Niros in stock and on the way, and all come with the complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations. Buy or lease a new Kia from Reading Kia, and you'll never pay for an oil change for as long as you own your car. That saves a lot of money. And have you seen the new 2018 Kia Stinger GT? It packs 365 horsepower with the available twin-turbo six-cylinder. The performance is mind-blowing. No wonder Stinger is a finalist for the North American Car of the Year. This is the car everyone's talking about, so see the Stinger today at Reading Kia and be ready to drive it home. Great cars, big savings, America's best new car warranty. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue, readingkia.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and, of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
And welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. And the power of editing, that's all I'm going to say, the power of editing. Well, we've got one more half hour to finish out this program. Of course, the broadcast podcast, you can pick us up on Stitcher or iTunes or the Google Play Store. You can also go directly to boomertechradio.com, download the show from there, and you can write us at boomertechradio@gmail.com. And get the get information. You can make show suggestions and ask what's wrong with you people.
And we really appreciate our sponsors and our
fine
theme
folk.
Music
yeah.
provider.
Theme music composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie and used by permission. Sponsoring this show for the past 8 years has been Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for the customers and our community down there at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Now, Amazon Prime, and I tell people this, and I know people who will not have it because, you know, they just don't trust home delivery, and that's fine. But Amazon Prime does appeal to an awful lot of folks. And we do say if you have the chance to buy something locally, by all means, get it locally.
Absolutely.
But there are some things you just can't find locally.
Or you don't find a version that you like.
Right.
Or it's, you know, 3 months or the merchant won't order it or what have you. And so, you know, the world is your marketplace. Hmm. And you can certainly go online and go for it.
Now, Apple's still a bit cagey about exactly how many members, Prime members, they have around the world, but they did offer some interesting numbers and significant numbers for something that didn't exist a handful of years ago. Last year, in 2017, 5 billion items, in other words, an item for everybody on the planet, was shipped through Amazon Prime. That's pretty interesting. Obviously, some people had a lot of items shipped, and that includes 1- and 2-day shipping. Now, the company's never really revealed a whole lot of figures for comparison purposes. Now, last year, they said over 1 billion items were shipped via Prime and fulfillment during 2016, so that's a heck of a growth.
That's true. One of the interesting things, of course, you know, anytime you order something online, you're through Amazon, you do Google search, there's information being collected on you in terms of, it may not be attached to you specifically, particularly, but at least the systems know what you're looking for and that kind of thing, or what people are looking for. Turns out that if you own an Amazon Echo, you're probably spending more money than membership people who have membership in Amazon Prime.
Now, we're talking 90 million U.S. Prime members, but on the average, the people who have the Amazon Echo spend a bit more.
Right. And that's probably because, and of course, Amazon's delighted to hear this undoubtedly, mm-hmm. because that was one of the reasons the Echo was put in place, was to make ordering easy.
Mm-hmm.
And or is that what they're talking about? I believe so. That it's in relationship to...
Well, if you have an Echo in your house, you're more plugged into Amazon as a resource.
I guess that's it, that they find that folks that have an Echo are doing more business with Amazon, which I hope is not to the detriment of local business. That would be kind of a shame. Prime members still spend more than the average U.S. consumer, mm-hmm. And I assume that they mean on Amazon, that they're not talking about.
Prime members tend to spend a little more than the average Amazon customer, and 63% of people who are members of Amazon are Prime members. Now, we love our Prime membership.
Yep.
And I actually had...
Handy.
Somebody asked me the other day about an entry-level tablet, and I steered her right into the Kindle Fire HD 8, which you can get now a two-pack for $100. Kindle Fire HD 8.
That's crazy.
8-inch tablets for $100 shipped, so you can have his and hers. And if you've got Prime memberships, these things are great. Prime Music brings you a lot of stuff. Now, I've got Amazon Music Unlimited, which for an extra $10 a month gives you a huge catalog of music. You can download it to your device so you can play it back just about anywhere. Now, the Kindle tablet is a Wi-Fi-only device, but most smartphones nowadays have a data plan
right.
that you can share out via hotspot.
Exactly. They become a hotspot, right.
So that's not a big deal. So my desert island device still remains the Kindle Fire HD 8.
Yep. It's flexible.
Mm-hmm. We've got old HD 7s that are still serviceable.
Oh,
we've had them
functional.
For four years, I think.
I think your battery got a little wonky.
My battery's losing its curve a little bit. By the way, there was an article about, well, why do iPhone batteries die? Well, because they're lithium-ion batteries, and lithium-ion batteries have a definitive lifespan.
Yeah. Yes.
And people have to ask, why? Are they doing it intentionally? No, it's the technology.
It's kind of interesting to me. I was ruminating the other day, speaking of all of this activity on Amazon and the mega number of units information that they've sold, the 5 billion pieces or what have you. How long before this is... the shopping experience of choice, you know, you still want to go somewhere and touch it, feel it, whatever, but that may be that local shopping turns into more boutique-y, specialty-type things.
Right, and for things like home furnishings and stuff like that,
I think what you're going to see
is a person comes to the house, and rather than a big sample case, they hand you a pair of AR glasses.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Which... you look and you say, okay, if we make the sofa eggplant or whatever color.
Aubergine.
Yeah, whatever bizarre color you want. How's it going to look against the drapes? And you'll see that and how much of the room it's going to take up because the glasses will calculate the distance to the wall and draw a couch where you think one would go. So how would it look against that? Well, all without moving the 500-pound couch back and forth.
Or having to try and envision this. You can literally envision it and see what it might look like. But not only that, you go to Walmart these days. You actually go to the brick-and-mortar store and find the bargains and what have you that are there. Amazon... is, you know, giving Walmart a run for their money in some respects in terms of purchasing things. So it's akin to malls. For what, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Malls were the king design
of retail.
And that's now going by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Increasingly, malls are struggling with staying open and holding on to stores and what have you. And, of course, online business is just exploding. major retailers like JCPenney and Macy's are going out of business
yes.
because of this.
They are unfortunately going the way of the dinosaur
just
because
like,
they're not adaptive.
Right, just like the downtown department store went out of business when the mall went in.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I've witnessed that in my lifetime.
Now, some weeks ago, we had a rather squirm-worthy segment because people get weird when you talk about human sexuality. What are we talking about that for on a tech show? Well, we had Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and she had an interesting take on sex robots.
Yep.
And her take was basically it's an outlet. She didn't find it as something that would be particularly harmful. In fact, she thought it might be good for somebody who absolutely just, you know, it's easy to say, well, you just need to try harder to form a relationship with a real human being. But there are individuals who can't relate to other human beings on a meaningful level.
Or the... aren't lucky in their attempts to gain a relationship.
And maybe they have some physical thing going on. And yes, people can be extremely shallow and cruel. Nobody knows that better than us. So. But
that's not what we're talking about.
The popular conception right now is that, you know, with Westworld and all that, that sex robots do nothing but, and this is the objection you hear, objectify women. And you've heard that argument, which Nancy
yes.
just kind of shakes her head
right.
at.
Right. And she doesn't object to that. She shakes her head at that because she doesn't object to the sex robot idea because it may actually help decrease threatening behaviors.
Yeah.
Or harmful behaviors.
So an article written in Bloomberg by Kathy O'Neill puts a little bit different spin on this. She thinks that it's the men who should be worried because it's entirely possible that the robots could outperform them.
Because some have said, what happens if the sex robots get so good that they outperform real human women?
So,
this is
the
her
article,
twist on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Perhaps it's time for a big think. Are women not as capable as men of crude objectification? Anybody who's ever overheard a bunch of women sitting around at a party when a few drinks have flowed.
Oh, my God. I got it in college in the dorm cafeteria without any booze involved.
And not a guy in sight.
Well, there were plenty of guys in sight. That was the running commentary. It was, kind of. I mean, don't
robots
get me wrong, I like good eye candy as much as the next person, but...
They had a running commentary, and we seem to ignore that. What she calls for is make the men compete. Don't get me wrong, I have a good husband, I doubt I would trade in, but if I had a daughter, I'd consider giving her a robot, preferably one who can do dishes and guard the door. Raising
goodness.
The standards is quite reasonable. Makes
Isn't
the men
that
compete.
Kind of like getting them a dog in some respects?
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there could be dangers. The article goes on to say there is, for example, the possibility that hackers could turn sex robots into killers. But the statistician in me can't help asking, would that make them more of a threat than actual men who beat up on their spouses?
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yep. It's interesting how this is all going to play out. Because there will be a reality of these things showing up, and they will become increasingly common. I have very little doubt.
But it's not just men buying female robotic companions.
No.
And that's the popular myth right now. And I guarantee you, I will predict on this show right here, that the trend will be very much in the opposite direction.
Yep.
Because
be interesting.
Some of the
not
first...
that we're psychologists or
we're not.
Therapists or whatever, but we have been around
we're
a while. Observers of human nature.
One of the big drivers of the VHS video stores going behind the curtain was the housewife stopping on the way home for a little something to pick the guy, you know, to be
for
inspirational.
Pick me up.
For a little something for inspiration.
There you go. Oh, my goodness.
On a rather sadder note, I'm trying to get the dateline on this. An Amtrak train struck and killed an 11-year-old girl as she walked home from a restaurant near her home in Florida. Polk County Sheriff's officials said she was looking at her phone as she crossed the tracks.
Possibly with earbuds in.
Gave no indication that she was aware the train was coming. The train was moving at almost 70 miles an hour at the time of the impact.
So wow.
Very sad. So evidence at the scene indicated the girl was wearing her headphones when the train hit. So,
yeah, probably going to the next tune or whatever and just didn't hear the train coming. That's
so
very
please
sad.
Impress on your kids' situational awareness.
Well, you should always be very cautious around train tracks, no matter what, even if you don't think the train is there.
Yep. Now, here's something I intend on doing. I've been thinking about it and haven't done it, but according to Android Central, one of the things you need to do as soon as you get your nice, shiny new Android phone is to download and set up Find My Device. Now, you want the genuine article from Google, and it works through your Google ID, if you have one. Find My Device will let you ring your phone, lock it remotely, or even erase your phone if it has gone missing or stolen. So if you've checked all the spots where your phone might be, you can ring it and see if it's in the house. Apparently, even if you've got the ringer turned off, using Find My Phone, it'll override that setting.
Yeah.
And if there's any battery in the phone at all, it'll ring it. If it does appear that the phone has been removed from your control and somebody's trying to get into it, you can remotely lock or scrub the phone.
One of the things that you need to do is have your location services on. So it does require access to the location services. I don't know if you have to have it. I would assume you have to have that on. It doesn't run in the background. This isn't something I can tap to in a background without it on.
Right.
So
uses Wi-Fi and GPS to get the pinpoint location.
The thing about that though is if you leave that on all the time and you're taking pictures, your location will be encrypted in your pictures. So that's not maybe something you want to have on all the time.
Yep. And I just
location services. I mean.
Yeah,
even though it's very handy, if you're prone to losing your device, though, that might be a good idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if it falls out of your pocket and things like that. Once the phone has been located, you'll be able to ring your device so it plays a loud sound, even if it's in silent mode. This is handy if you've misplaced the phone inside the house. If you have a Google Home, you can ask Assistant to ring your device.
Uh-huh.
So if you have your phone and the car keys in the same place and you can't find either of them, you can have...
Blame the cat.
Yeah, well, blame the cat.
The cat took off with the car keys.
Yep.
And knocked the phone over.
Yeah, when all else fails, you can remotely erase data, find my device. Now, Apple offers a simple thing with Find My iPhone, but this is a very handy one. And again, if you have misplaced the phone, you can go onto your Google account and get a map of exactly where your phone is. And this has been used, actually, in a couple of events. There was a deal here in our town, in Reading, where somebody stole a purse, and the phone in the purse had a Find My iPhone. And the woman's boyfriend was able to track down and recover the purse, and the individual was dealt with.
That's a good thing. So if you are looking to, make your desktop real slick looking and the most modern ways of doing things, there's this thing called Blade Shadow.
Yep.
And pretty much it gets rid of the PC concept of even having a computer because...
Well, we're back to mainframe client architecture.
So all you do is interact with a mainframe somewhere that's in the cloud someplace. Yeah.
Which is not unlike a Chromebook.
Yep.
A Chromebook can do a few things on its own, but for the most part, it is highly dependent on being tied into the Internet, and it becomes desktop as a service.
Right. And when we're used to this concept already by dealing with things in the cloud and that sort of thing. It's just the physical hardware. So if you think about that, you never have to upgrade your computer. Mm-hmm. It's a consideration possibly for some, and I believe they do it on a more like a subscription service or subscription style service. where you pay, you know, a fee every month to use this mainframe.
So how does it work? Blade has a server farm with high-end Windows 10 PCs, renting you space on it for a monthly fee. You access it via any via an app on any device with a screen attached, computer, phone, tablet, and so on. It'll operate under Android, iOS, Linux, Mac OS. The processing all takes place remotely. Your device is just a screen, so you don't have to have their hardware. You just buy their service.
Right, exactly.
About $35 a month is what you pay for this.
Very portable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So when you get a new machine, all your software is on that server end, so you don't... Who hasn't been through the absolute pain in the butt of transferring software onto their new machine?
Yep.
About $420 a year, $120 for 3 months, or $50 for a single month. You want to give it a try? You can buy or rent an optional box for when you need to connect external devices like a keyboard, game controller, removable storage, and so on. It is focused on gamers. Now, this is something that's been tried a couple of times. If you've got a good, solid connection, the system is powerful enough to play games at up to 144 frames per second and stream 4K video or other traditionally very intensive processes. System incorporates a high-end NVIDIA graphics processor unit, Intel Xeon server, 12 gigs of RAM, 256 gig solid-state drive, and a CPU with performing like an Intel Core i7.
Yeah.
And as long as you're a member, you're getting continuous upgrades to your hardware.
Right.
Which is something most of us don't do.
Right. And also... The latest, you know, the usual latest maintenance of antivirus software and things like that. So there's, it's kind of like a, you don't have to maintain it. It's all part of the package.
Yeah. Now, this has been tried before, but up until now, the connections haven't been robust enough to make this a viable option. In fact, there's been some solutions to having remote applications run on the distant server, and then you're just a client signed onto that server, just like the old mainframe days. Now, Brenda can remember green screen CRTs shaped roughly like a beehive, all in-one units that got tremendously hot and were horrendously slow.
Yep, had to have big air conditioning unit on the office to keep all of that cool.
Yeah.
And at the AC came through the floor and went up through the bottom of the consoles to keep that in. You pretty much didn't have to have any heat on in the winter because the consoles would keep the office pretty warm.
This is going to become even more viable when 5G networks start to roll out, which can sustain the sorts of data rates. Right now, I wouldn't even try this unless I had at least a coax type connection rather than a DSL or maybe a fiber connection, because you're going to need a pretty robust data connection in order to make this thing work. But keep an eye out on this thing. It is the Blade Shadow. It's been tried out in France for a while, and now it is coming to the United States. So
yeah, cool. Sounds like they've worked some of the bugs out. It's not like it's an unproven system. And, you know, if you have a entrepreneurial type office, or you know, there's places where you can just rent office space for a while, because you don't want to rent a place either long term or a great big place, or maybe you're not there very much. This is portable and affordable in the sense that it's sort of like renting equipment, but it might be a good option, particularly for a new business venture.
Yeah.
Just speculating.
Article in The Verge, as we get ready to roll out here. AT&T has announced plans to roll out a true 5G network in a dozen markets by the end of 2018, which probably means we'll see it sometime in 2020. AT&T says this will be a genuine 5G network. AT&T did an announcement of a 5G evolution, which basically was 4G with a new wrapper put on it. The network will be based on newly accepted industry standards for fifth generation internet. So the speeds should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 gigs a second, which is pretty impressive. Certainly much better than we're seeing from what we're getting. AT&T, the last of the four main U.S. carriers to announce rollout plans. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, there'll be a lot of discussion on 5G rollout at this coming up CES.
And I guess that's not a software thing. It's a hardware thing. So.
Yeah, it's a set of hardware specifications.
Once again, you're going to get a new phone.
Yeah. Not for a while yet.
Yeah,
I figure
it'll be quite
2 years. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Tech news you can use wherever you go, whatever you do. Be safe. Be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The deep freeze gripping the Northeast continues today with single-digit temperatures in cities like Philadelphia, New York, and Baltimore that usually don't see numbers that low. Mount Washington Observatory said the wind chill at New Hampshire's Mount Washington Summit could hit minus 100 at some point today. Senior meteorologist at the station, Mike Cameron, says he and other weather observers, they dress in mountaineering clothing before stepping outside to do their jobs.
So we're putting on multiple warm